Stars form an arc above a mountain peak. Paramount Plus Original. Silver stars skate across dark water in a mountain lake. They soar toward a solitary snow-capped mountain peak and form a ring around it. Text floats into the ring. The background fades, leaving behind a logo. Paramount Players. Dim light glows against a background, resembling aged brownish paper. The light collapses into text. DB Pictures. At night, a full moon shines brightly through clouds. In a forest, bare trees stand above a blanket of mist. The mist coats the ground under burial markers, one resembling a cross.
Growing up in Ludlow, Maine, Pet Cemetery was a place kids like me learned about death.
Children wear animal masks.
But hundreds of years ago, it was used in a very different way.
Text marks a hand-drawn map.
The local Mi'kmaq tribe built it to call on animal spirits to protect them from an ancient evil in the woods.
Mist rolls over the ground.
It had lived there forever, beyond the Pet Cemetery, just past Little God Swamp. We built a deadfall to keep people out, but the evil would whisper to those seeking to spend one more day with the ones they love.
A gravestone reads, Sally Baderman.
And that was where I learned my real lesson about death. A lesson you can only learn in Ludlow. Sometimes dead is better.
A truck speeds down a road. A title appears. Pet Cemetery. Bloodlines. Text appears. Ludlow, Maine, 1969. At night, a middle-aged white man with short hair and a beard drags a pale-skinned corpse with close-cropped hair across the dirt ground in a foggy clearing. A medium-sized dog walks past them. The man straightens, a weary expression on his haggard face. He looks upward, with deep lines on his forehead. Framed by nearby shrubbery, as if being watched, the man glances around the clearing. He takes a flask from his jacket pocket. He takes a big swig. Framed by the shrubbery, the man continues looking around, then picks up a shovel. He jabs it into the ground repeatedly. Later, the man removes a set of dog tags hanging around his neck. He kisses the dog tags, then sets them atop a mound of dirt. The man stands, then plants the shovel in the edge of the dirt mound so that it stands upright. He takes out a flashlight and turns it on as he begins to walk away. The dirt mound shifts, causing the shovel to fall over. The man whips around. He turns his flashlight towards the dirt mound. He and his dog return to the dirt mound. He stoops beside it. The dog paws at the dirt. A hand bursts out, grabbing the dog by the collar and pulling it downward. In daylight, a car drives past a sign that reads, Welcome to Ludlow. A smiley face defaces the O. In the quaint, tree-filled town, a large white house stands beyond a cornfield. A bespectacled middle-aged white man sits on the porch, smoking a cigarette. A young, dark-haired white man carries a box from the house to the trunk of a black car. He briefly removes his hat to rub his brow with his arm. He returns to the middle-aged man on the porch. An older blonde woman and a young blonde woman come out to join them.
I try to look a little less happy. I'm leaving debt.
Never thought I'd see the day a Crandall would leave Ludlow.
This girl's a good influence. Peace Corps was Mr. Crandall's idea. I just gave Judd a nudge.
Sure.
You forgot one.
British invasion.
Oh, no, I'm keeping that one.
It's time for the British to retreat. Those bands have kids doing the marijuana.
Norma says that drugs pacify the... I don't, what is it? What is it?
Chill is a societal ill. Mr. Crandall.
Yeah.
The young blonde woman, Norma, heads for the car.
Come on, Jeb.
Yep.
The older woman, Judd's mom, looks at Judd's dad. Outside a store in town, Julio's, Judd carries a cardboard box wearing a hat bearing the shop's name. drops something, then stoops to pick it up. A photo of his younger self with two other teen boys. In a flashback, the boys sit in the corner of a wooden treehouse, holding cans. In the present, the bearded man from the clearing approaches, holding two large paper bags.
Judson.
Judd stares. The bearded man eyes the photo.
That's a nice photograph.
Timmy, you and Manny. Good old days, huh?
Hey, Mr. Biederman.
Hi, Norma.
Mr. Biederman looks from Norma to Judd.
I'll give you a hand with it.
Oh.
Yeah. Of course.
Judd takes one of the bags. He puts it in the back of a pickup. Mr. Biederman opens the driver's side door.
Having a party, or...?
He stops and eyes Judd.
No, haven't you heard the news? My Timmy's back.
Back from Vietnam. Already.
Yeah, honorable discharge, Silver Star. Boy came back to be a real hero. I'm proud of him. What you been up to all this time?
Oh, Norma and I are going to Michigan tomorrow. We are joining the Peace Corps.
Peace Corps?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God never did call a Crandall's number.
Judd regards him with tight lips.
We're all the same. You enjoy your peace.
Mr. Biederman flashes a peace sign as he gets in his pickup. Judd returns to Norma.
Everything okay?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, all good. I'm good. Let's go.
Later, at home.
I don't understand why you had to get rid of everything today. I mean, it's not like you're never coming back, right?
Ma. Kathy. Can we change the subject, honey?
Judd eats dinner with his mom, Kathy, and his father. His parents focus on their plates.
I saw Bill Biederman today.
They share a look.
Timmy's back. He has an honorable discharge. Silver Star. Everything.
How much did that little piece of silver cost him?
He's a hero.
Thank God that Timmy came back to him in one piece. Old Bill's heart probably stopped beating the day his only son left.
Mr. Crandall eyes his watch.
Speaking of which, we better get going if we're going to make the tryouts.
I have a lot to do before I leave tomorrow, Dad. I don't think I can.
Come on. Last night with my son at the rink, like the good old days.
At a hockey rink, several players stand at a blue line. One skates forward and takes a shot on the goalie, who saves it. More players take shots. Judd and his dad watch from the stands.
Remember your tryouts? You, Timmy, Manny. These kids are good, but you boys were special.
Players skate in circles. One sprays snow as he stops.
You know, Ma's right. It's not like I'll never come home. I gotta get out there, Dad. I gotta do something, you know?
Judd's dad notes a sheriff eyeing them down the stands. They both look away.
I wanna help people.
Judd doesn't notice.
Maybe you shouldn't come back. If this town gets in your blood, you'll never leave.
Say they like Ludlow's cursed.
Ludlow's Ludlow.
Judd's dad takes out a cigarette.
Man can dream, his son cast a bigger shadow.
Good luck to all you boys. Future Ludlow Beavers. And one more thing, everyone. The draft lottery just came in, and we posted the names on the corkboard behind me, so you can check on your way out.
A young man spits in a cup.
God bless everyone.
At a corkboard, Judd runs his finger down a short list of names on a draft lottery. He returns to his dad.
It's the fourth time I've been skipped over.
Well, you can thank your mother for that. All that praying was just good after all, huh?
You don't think Bill Biederman did his fair share of praying?
Of course. Just reckon Mother's got a more direct line.
Judd nods. They look toward the corkboard.
You told Manny you're leaving yet?
Judd shakes his head.
Well, son, most of us only get one life, and it's too short for unfinished business.
Mr. Crandall looks across the room toward the sheriff and others.
Give me a moment.
Outside, the announcer, a mustached white man, stands with a middle-aged black woman.
Marjorie, sheriff found an open grave. Big enough for a dog. At least. We're on watch tonight.
Judd approaches.
Judd Crandall.
Hey, Benson. Marjorie.
Well, if it ain't the first Crandall that left Ludlow since the first dam settlers.
Your dad's mighty proud of you.
Really? Feels like he
smokes more on his porch than he talks to me, you know?
Not telling his children shit is half a father's job. My daddy was the same way. But Danny loves you.
Well, you two take care of him. I'm gone. Don't let him eat those jelly donuts at the diner. Nice to see you. There, Benson and Marjorie.
Judd walks away. Benson and Marjorie smile at him, then share a grave look. The next day, Judd backs his black sedan out of his parents' driveway and onto the road. Kathy and his father, Dan, stand on the walkway in their front yard, watching him.
I love you! Take care of each other!
I love you, Judson!
Judd glances back toward a treehouse beside his parents' house. He frowns slightly, then drives off. His parents watch him go. Kathy waves. Later, Norma rides with Judd.
Where do you think they're going to station us? Asia? Africa?
Wherever. As long as I can serve in some way.
She tilts her head.
You smile?
No.
No?
I can't.
You can't?
I don't.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Just enjoy every second of getting the heck out of Ludlow!
A bird hits the windshield, cracking it.
Norma, you okay? You okay?
Judd stops. Norma looks at him, then away.
Out of nowhere, I didn't see it.
Judd looks through the windshield.
The hell is that? The Baderman's dog?
What?
They get out.
Judd, did you hit him?
No.
Mr. Baderman's dog, now looking haggard and sickly, stands just in front of the car, panting heavily. Judd reaches toward it, then pulls back.
It's filthy. It sounds like you're sick or something.
Maybe we should give him some space, Judd.
Let's just walk him back. We're not that far. Come on, Andrews. Come on, buddy.
In a house's basement, a young woman with tan skin and long black hair paints animal masks. A tan-skinned man with shaggy hair, the one from the rink who spit in a cup, comes down.
What the hell's all this? Can't hear the customer's racism over whatever the hell this is.
Some mood music, bro. White noise, love without sound.
Yeah, I'd love if I couldn't hear it.
Well, it's better than the depressing acoustic you listen to.
He eyes the masks.
It's different.
Been dreaming them all week. My pillow is my muse.
You all right, Donna?
I don't really know what they mean yet. See, old Norse shamans and warriors used animal masks to channel their spirits.
She puts on a fierce-looking mask.
Do I look more like a warrior or a healer?
More like a freak.
Tall sunflowers stand at the edge of a field filled with smaller ones. Donna and her shaggy-haired brother sit in the field and smoke. He wears a bandana around his forehead.
You hear Judd Crandall left Ludlow?
956 people in this podunk town. You think I don't hear it when someone across the street rips one? Yeah. Peace Corps. Big deal. So what?
Well, don't you think it's about time you got out of here too, man?
He looks down and blows out smoke.
Nice dream.
I'm serious. I submitted a piece to a gallery in Buffalo.
He eyes Donna.
They want me to do a show.
She beams.
All my own stuff.
Well, so now you're leaving now too?
I want you to come with me.
So you tag along in the corner of your fancy shows like I already do at your parties? I mean, shit, Donna, I'm not you.
Bullshit. It's my brother you're talking about.
He lifts his eyes to the rows of sunflowers beyond Donna. A bee flies off a sunflower. The shaggy-haired man knits his brow.
What's that?
Donna looks over her shoulder.
Manny?
Her brother, Manny, rises and walks past her. He exhales smoke, scanning the dense rows of plants to his right. Donna follows him. CI is a tall sunflower with a spiral in its center. Blood drips off the yellow petals below it. Manny takes another hit and blows out smoke.
What the fuck?
He steps toward it.
I'm too high.
He trips over something on the ground and falls face first onto the dirt.
Manny!
Donna rushes to his side.
Oh.
Something sharp sticks through his hand. Blood seeps from the wound.
What? Oh, my God, Donna!
He goes to pull it. A truck speeds past Judd and Norma on a rural road. The sickly dog ambles ahead of them. Judd holds a long blade of grass, resting it against his lips.
Something wrong with him.
Just get him home.
Norma frowns. They follow the dog down a gravel road, passing a rusty tractor. Judd glances back. He wears an overshirt tied around his waist. The dog trots off the road toward a house with an enclosed porch and a tree in the yard. Judd and Norma follow. A sudden wind parts sheets hanging on a clothesline. Beyond the clothesline, a dead deer hangs upside down in the open garage. Behind a rusted-out car, Judd and Norma continue toward the house.
Timmy!
They stop. In the house, someone looks down at them through an upstairs window. Judd looks around.
Where'd he go? Where's the dog?
Hendrix? Come here.
Just get back to the porch. Get out of here as quick as we can, okay?
Hey.
A figure stands in the porch.
Judd Crandall.
Timmy.
A window screen obscures Timmy's pale face and close-cropped hair.
Listen, we saw
you. Yeah, I heard that you were trying to join the Peace Corps.
Yeah. We're actually on our way out now.
Hey. You think you would have lasted one day in real combat?
Judd stares.
Because I think that you'd pissed yourself so bad that you set off a minefield and that you're lucky that old Dan Crandall paid off that doc to keep you out of the war. Yeah. No war for Judd. There's no war for Judd Crandall.
I think that's a lie, Timmy.
I'm lying? Look at
me.
Timmy shifts his eyes.
Well, only children tell the whole truth, but I'm not lying. I'm not.
Norma and Judd look at Timmy, who gazes off and licks his lips.
Okay. Really glad you're back in one piece, Timmy. It was really good to see you.
Timmy lifts his gaze. Judd looks aside.
I think we're gonna be going now. You take care of yourself.
The dog jumps and savagely bites Norma's arm. She falls to the ground. Judd struggles to pry the dog's jaws open.
Timmy!
Timmy watches from the porch.
Call the dog!
Blood drips off Norma's arm. She goes faint. Standing outside, Timmy fires a rifle into the air.
Norma? Hey. It's okay.
A deep, bloody bite wound mars Norma's left arm.
Fuck! Hold on.
Judd looks at Timmy as he unties the overshirt around his waist.
What the fuck?
He wraps it around Norma's wound.
It's okay. It's okay.
He helps her up. Judd looks back at Timmy, who opens the screen door. The dog trots inside. In a hospital, Norma lies in one of several beds in a large room. Judd sits at her bedside. He watches as a nurse walks past to another patient's bed. Scenes flash of the attack as he stares off.
Norma!
In the hospital, Norma stirs in her bed, her left arm bandaged.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Stay down. How you feeling?
I am sore.
Yeah. Doctor said this could have been a lot worse. But he wants to keep you here for a few nights.
Okay. Then we'll get to Michigan. Then the world.
She extends her right arm. He kisses it.
Judd. This wasn't your fault.
She strokes his hair as they hold each other's gaze. He glances aside, then rises.
I'll let you rest.
Okay.
He presses his face against hers.
I'll be back tomorrow.
He kisses her forehead. Outside, Manny walks away from the hospital, his right hand bandaged. Looking the other way, Judd bumps into him.
Sorry, fucking hey, man.
Judd stops and stares.
What happened to your hand?
Manny keeps walking.
Bird watching incident. Hey, Manny.
He stops.
Can we go somewhere and talk?
On a bench.
What, are you trying to ask me out? Why not with it?
Manny plays with his lighter. Judd regards him with tight lips.
You're avoiding me.
Manny looks away.
I'm just trying to... I'll say goodbye. Is that it? What's the point? Bye. All right, have fun with Norma. Well, actually, we're not going yet.
Manny looks at Judd.
Norma got attacked by Timmy's dog. Shit. Is she okay? Mm-hmm. I think. Timmy just watched. Like he was looking right through it, like he wasn't there or something.
You know, Donna saw him. He just mumbling to himself like a bunch of names. And he just passed her by like she wasn't even there.
Judd looks at Manny.
I think something's wrong. You probably kill people in there. It's like, what do you expect? The same kid that we used to sneak beers with in your treehouse.
Later, Judd drives his car, staring through the broken windshield. He drives past crops on a rural road. An address on a mailbox reads 141 Baderman. Outside Timmy's house, Judd braces himself against his car. He moves to one side of the property, glancing around. Timmy stands with his back turned, halfway between Judd and a farm building. Something rests motionless by Timmy's feet. Judd continues toward him.
Hey, Timmy! It's Judd.
Timmy doesn't move, keeping his back to Judd.
Timmy.
Judd draws closer, then stops. A massacred animal carcass lies at his feet, the innards spilling out under the exposed rib cage. Judd lifts his wide eyes. Blood drips from Timmy's left hand.
Jesus. Christ.
Timmy stands with his head tilted back slightly.
Great God, Timmy.
Judd looks around. He turns back. Mr. Baderman, Bill, approaches and sticks a shovel in the ground near the carcass. Timmy is gone.
What are you doing here?
Mr. Baderman. Where's Timmy?
Bill tilts his head.
I came to see Timmy. We were here earlier and Hendrix attacked Norma.
He's a good boy. He wouldn't attack without a reason.
Judd gapes and looks aside.
Can I see Timmy? Is that possible, please?
Timmy's not taking any visitors right now. He needs time to adjust.
Judd shifts his gaze, then steps forward.
Worried about him, sir? Okay.
He stops as Bill puts the shovel over his shoulder.
I'm worried about him. We all are, Manny, Donna. There's something different. He's different.
Bill looks aside.
You haven't been friends with my boy for years. Why don't you just enjoy that piece your daddy bought for you and that Dan Crandall wouldn't want you mixed up in any such low business as a boy coming back from the war now, would he?
My dad? What?
Bill stares.
Okay, all right, okay.
He lowers the shovel and kicks it into the ground.
Just, will you tell him that I said goodbye, please?
Something watches from afar as Judd departs. Bill looks over.
Come on.
Judd returns home. His parents look up from a card game.
You're back?
Yeah, I'm back.
I don't understand. What happened?
Norma was attacked by the Baderman's dog on the Baderman farm.
Is she okay?
Yeah, it's a long story. She's okay. She's all right.
Oh, that's awful.
She's gonna be fine, but you have to be here a few more days. Guess that messes with your plan to get me out of Ludlow, Dad.
Judd takes a seat adjacent to his parents.
I should make Norma a pie.
Kathy sets down her cards and gets up from a couch. Red lines mark the back of her left calf.
Even Bill Baderman knows that you have been pushing me to leave. Why?
Dan takes out a cigarette.
You're hiding something. Just tell me.
He stands.
Do you know what you are? You are a hero without a cause. It's kind of like being a rebel without a cause, but worse.
Judd rises and faces him.
Is that what you told Doc White? Hayden to lie for me? What was it? Bone spurs? Fallen arches? What?
Everything we've done in our whole goddamn lives has been to protect you.
Okay. I don't need you to protect me, Dad.
You do. If you won't, get the hell out of Ludlow.
Watching from a doorway, Kathy steps aside. Dan moves away from Judd. In a dim storage space, full jars rest on a dusty shelf.
Marjorie Washburn.
Cobwebs cling to a chain.
Sheriff Anderson.
A hand snatches a dead rat.
Mayor Benson.
Timmy sits on the floor. Among scattered papers, a file reads, Combat Flame Operations.
Dan Crandall.
Timmy writes surnames on a paper.
Judd.
He drops his marker after writing R.
Come on. Before they kill you.
He digs his thumb into the index finger of the same hand, carving out the flesh on his fingertip. The dark wound glistens, a rat's innards lie in a bloody pile beside the torn-apart forward half of its body. Timmy peels flesh off the tip of his middle finger. He draws a spiral in blood on the paper. At the end of her driveway, Marjorie retrieves mail from her mailbox. She moves forward as she looks through the envelopes, then puts them in her bag. The Baderman's dog, Hendrix, stands ahead of her, staring.
Hendrix, how you doing, boy? I got some turkey for you.
She takes something out of her bag and offers it to Hendrix. He stares.
Here.
Marjorie turns around.
Timmy.
Standing in the road, Timmy turns to look at her, his scrawny frame arched slightly.
I heard you were home.
Am I home? Guess I don't know. I'm starting to think home's just another box. You know, like a mailbox or like a coffin. Place to store our shit and pretend that we're not nothing for the little time we got left. Cause that's what your dad said right before he hung himself, huh?
Marjorie averts her gaze and touches her collar.
Yeah. That must be hard, huh? Taking his mail route and all, walking in his footsteps every day. Every day, wondering if today's the day that you hang yourself too.
She looks at Timmy.
Yeah.
Hendrix glares. Marjorie shifts her eyes. Timmy flexes his contorted fingers and turns. Marjorie turns toward her house. In a tree-filled area, people wearing animal masks play percussion instruments and dance around a campfire. Manny approaches. Someone in a mask pops out from behind a branch. Manny recoils, then continues toward the party, eyeing the person with the furrowed brow. String lights hang over the party, where people gather in two areas. He heads to his left. Donna, wearing a flowery headdress, stands with others, blowing bubbles. At home, Marjorie uses a phone. Behind her, a large spiral marks a map.
It's some shit Timmy Baderman said. And I can't shake the feeling we've got bigger problems than animal control.
Timmy Baderman couldn't have quoted your daddy's suicide note.
Elsewhere, Benson holds a phone.
You really think Bill buried Timmy?
This is how it starts. Just stirring up shit.
Yeah, you're right. That's how it starts. Stir shit up. Knowing your secrets, your darkest thoughts, playing with its food. Then people start dying. Jesus, it's back. I'll call a meeting.
He hangs up. At home, Marjorie does the same. She picks up a handwritten letter. Outside, something stalks toward the house. Inside, images and newspaper clippings hang pinned to the map. Marjorie stares at the letter. She turns as something lunges toward her. At the party, Manny sits against a chicken coop with Donna. He holds an acoustic guitar.
You know, you shouldn't be such a drag, man. You're bumming out the chickens.
I'm a drag. Found my purpose.
Smartass. Why don't you take a cue from Mom and Dad? Go join the American Indian Movement. Mom said there's a group going to take over Alcatraz Island in the name of all American Indians.
Manny sips a beer and smiles.
Reclaiming a rock? That's an upgrade.
Sure.
Start tomorrow.
Come on. You hear that? Come on, dance with me.
Donna gets up.
Hey. Come on. I'm your big sister, so that means I get to tell you what to do.
Your expiration date on that?
No.
Manny gets up. They dance among other partiers, some wearing masks, others not. They hop around each other in a circle, then stop and move their hands from side to side. Donna faces her brother and shimmies her shoulders. He leans back. They beam as they dance. They link arms and move in a circle. They bounce on their feet. Coming up from behind, Timmy puts a hand on Donna's shoulder. She turns.
Will you dance with me, Donna?
Manny knits his brow. Others stare. Timmy puts his wounded hand on her waist. Donna puts her hand on his shoulder. She looks down at his other hand, pinching the side of her shirt. She glances aside.
There's no music, Timmy.
He stares at her face as they sway. She glances around. A blonde woman smokes a joint.
Timmy?
What are you seeing in those dreams, Donna?
He puts his chin on her shoulder. Manny watches, his brow furrowed. Donna's mouth hangs open.
Manny and Donna. You know those masks aren't gonna save you, right?
I think you should go, Timmy.
Manny tackles Timmy.
Manny, stop!
They tumble to the ground. Donna stares.
Can you hear him?
Manny gets up.
Past the forest, in the tunnels.
Timmy gazes off.
Their voices.
Look, man, I'm sorry for everything that happened to you over there, right? Truly, but freaking everyone out. Come on, get up. Let's get you home.
Manny offers his hand. He helps Timmy to his feet.
Manny and Donna will never get out. He'll die here.
At a diner, Dan sits across from Benson and the sheriff. A waitress puts down a plate with a donut on it.
Here you are, Dan. Enjoy.
He checks his watch.
Where is Marjorie?
Benson tightens his lips.
Let's go ahead and get started.
Marjorie touches Dan's shoulder.
Marjorie, what? Oh my, what happened?
She eyes the others, her face cut and bloodied. She sits. The others stare.
I killed Biederman's fucking dog. Now I gotta get Timmy.
Dan blinks. At home, Donna stares at a black animal mask in her lap with pointy ears and long, sharp teeth. Manny sits nearby.
Many of those dreams I've been having all week have turned to nightmares. They don't really make sense, but they feel real. Some of them.
She strokes an eye hole on the mask.
Nightmares tend to feel real, Donna. Some make some nightmares.
No. These are different, Manny, like a warning about Ludlow.
Grandma told me our people built the pet cemetery to protect them from evil.
What kind of evil?
This whole planet is old, Manny. And it's filled with good shit and bad, and we don't know where it comes from. That's not Timmy. Something's talking through him.
Alone in the woods, Timmy stands stiffly, his mouth stained with blood. He stands before a pond of pale liquid. Moonlight reflects off the surface. Timmy's chest heaves. On his porch, Dan cracks open a beer can. Two others rest beside an ashtray on a small table. Dan stares outward as he drinks, then puffs a cigarette. Inside, a shirtless Judd lies in bed. Above him, a ceiling fan spins slowly. Scenes flash. Hendrix sits in the middle of the road. Timmy stares out through the dirty window screen. The bird crashes into Judd's windshield. Judd sits bolt upright. In his window, a shadow suddenly lowers. He looks over. Judd gets out of bed in his underwear. He puts on boots. He exits his room and opens a gun cabinet. He grabs a rifle and loads it. He hurries outside with the gun raised. A small ladder stands against his window. He lowers the gun briefly, then raises it as he moves around the house. He eyes the old treehouse. He lowers the gun, then continues around the house. He moves onto the road. A light overhead casts a red glow over him. He looks around. Something on the ground catches his eye. A cigarette butt next to it. He picks it up. The photo of him, Manny, and Timmy as teens, with holes burned through where their faces used to be. A truck speeds toward him. Judd drops the photo as he moves out of the way. Judd stares up the road, shifting his wide eyes. He returns to the house. He stops on the porch, eyeing his father.
Judd.
He goes inside. By the road, Timmy rises. He turns his head slightly. Inside, Judd closes his bedroom door. Turns and aims at a window. Manny opens it.
Manny! Oh, come on, man.
What are you...
Never point a gun at an Indian.
Just Manny.
Manny tumbles inside.
Oh. Fuck. Just use the front door. Are you okay? Here.
I'm good.
Oh, shit. Why are you sexy?
Later, Judd sits in a car with Manny, fully dressed. Manny holds up his lighter, illuminating the photo of them as teens. He squints.
Can't believe this is happening, man. It is. But the hell we do, John. I'm kind of freaking out here.
We get to the bottom of it. We find answers. We figure out what the hell is causing this.
Might have to be Timmy, man. Could have been any one of us.
Judd stares off, then looks over at Manny.
The church.
Manny furrows his brow and shakes his head.
It has all the old town records. Let's go there. Now, let's go.
In her basement room at home, Donna takes items out of a drawer. She puts them on a bed, next to a plant in an open container. She collects items from another drawer. She looks up.
Manny? Manny, are you home?
She moves toward the stairs, watching the ceiling.
Hello?
She moves into a short, dark hallway leading to the stairs. Around the corner from the hallway, a figure reflects in a wall-mounted mirror. The lights go out. Donna whips around, seeing her room empty. She backs up into a hanging object, then into Timmy. She falls and scurries away from him.
Timmy, this isn't you.
She shuffles backwards while sitting.
Remember when you used to come over and I'd make you those sandwiches?
Darkness cloaks the room.
Then I'd cut off your crust. Because you saw Judd's mom do it once for Judd, and you always wanted a mama like that.
Timmy lunges out of the darkness and stabs her in the stomach. He twists the blade, then lets go of it. Donna pulls it out.
Now Timmy ain't here.
She slashes his arm and kicks him back. Under early morning light, Donna hurries out of the house, gripping her wounded stomach. She runs past a car painted with sunflowers and a peace sign. Donna runs barefoot through the sunflower field. She glances back. She falls, then quickly scrambles to her feet. She stops and looks back. Timmy grabs her from behind, holding the knife. He pulls her into the sunflowers. Sunlight brightens the dim sky. In a church, a book rests open on a stand. A cross stands in a window. A religious painting hangs on a wall. Judd and Manny move up an aisle between pews in the small church, gazing around. A wall plaque reads, "In memory of the fighting men of Ludlow, we are forever in your debt. Your deeds live on." A bottle of red wine shatters on the floor between pews. A bearded, gray-haired priest rises.
How can I help you, boys?
Later, Judd flips through a book.
A couple of years into my post here, found those hidden in the organ. Someone wanted a man of God to find them. Screw them.
Manny reads another book.
Who wrote all this?
Goddamn survivors of the original settlers. Most of it's written by William's translator. A priest.
A flashback, Mi'kmaq territory, 1674.
It's been 4 months since Ludlow's message.
Men trek through the woods.
Ludlow and his men were tasked with finding fertile land, and he found something. Commander Williams and myself and the men have been traveling inland for 7 days now, hoping to find Ludlow.
I still don't understand, Williams, sir. If the natives don't believe they own the land, they belong to the land, then why are they moving from the land to which they belong?
They've suffered from crop rot.
Our men grow weary and paranoid of the land.
A spiral carving.
They tell me they hear whispers in the woods. And I've had nightmares about the symbols and masks we've encountered.
Looks like an animal burial ground.
Commander Williams, a long-haired white man, eyes an animal mask on a post. The priest steps up beside him, as well as a man with a ponytail.
They believe animal spirits offer them protection.
Protection from what?
He squints at the mask. Williams continues across a clearing, with rocks laid out in a giant spiral.
We're almost there.
The air feels sour here and smells of death. And while there is abundant water, the further we go, the more the crops begin to die. I can't help but believe it's related to Ludlow's last message. Death is different here. Death is a gate to eternal life.
From above, a wooden fence surrounds a camp containing another, larger, rock spiral. Williams leads his men through an opening in the fence.
What happened here?
Several dead birds hang upside down from posts.
Find Ludlow. And any survivors?
The Micmac man, wearing an animal mask with many eye holes and sharp teeth, sits alone, gently beating a drum. Smoke rises from multiple spots in the camp. William stands facing the Micmac man, who looks up as the priest kneels. The Micmac man lifts his mask, revealing painted lines on his face.
Father, ask him where the others have gone. My man, where is Ludlow?
Subtitles, Micmac man. Ludlow belongs to the land now. Your men wouldn't listen. They buried Ludlow in the sour earth. The man with the ponytail moves to the edge of the camp. Staring at something, he drops his gun. A long-haired white man feasts on the innards of a dead animal.
Ludlow?
Awaken something ancient and...
The priest looks at Williams.
Evil.
As Williams' men run toward the sound, the Micmac man lowers his mask and readies his drum. Micmac man. Aim for the eyes. Ludlow and his men move to the edge of the camp. The long-haired man feasts on the innards of the man with the ponytail.
Ludlow!
Ludlow looks up, wild-eyed. His long hair obscures his smirking, blood-smeared face. He rises, chewing on flesh. Williams recoils. Ludlow lunges forward. In the present, in the church, Manny reads a book with illustrations.
Chief claimed that he guarded land for generations. He said the woods were like the mouth of evil, and anything buried there would come back to life, swallowed by hell itself.
An illustration contains a spiral.
They called it a mouth because it would whisper to those most likely to feed it, because it was always hungry for more.
Images of people in animal masks.
Like the Micmac, some of our men called on animal spirits for protection, while others resorted to spirals and pagan symbols when it seemed God wouldn't listen. But nothing could help us. We were on our own.
Judd reads a list of surnames.
They named the town Ludlow to remind them of their sins.
On his porch, Dan sits alone. He cracks open another beer and sips. He looks out toward the road. He opens a handwritten journal filled with small, grisly sketches.
Daniel, I was 15 the first time I saw it happen to a person. He was the first, but he wasn't the last. I wish I could say it won't happen to you.
He turns a page.
They hear things, know things, our darkest secrets, and they like you knowing they know. The more days that go on, the more they need to kill and kill and feed the mouth of hell. You must aim for the eyes, son. It's the only way to kill them. This journal is now yours. One day, it will be your son's.
In the woods, leafy tree branches sway in the wind. The murky water in the pond ripples. In a clearing with rocks laid out in a pattern, Timmy drags Donna's limp body across the dirt ground. He drags her into a shallow grave. In daylight, at the Baderman house, Bill approaches the kitchen.
Hey, Timmy, is that you? I didn't hear you come in.
He stops at the doorway and stares before stepping in. Timmy stoops at the open fridge, eating from a mound of bloody raw flesh.
Where's Hendrix?
Good.
Is that his blood?
No.
Bill regards his son with a slight wince.
Timmy.
He turns toward a mirror. Timmy rises in the reflection and turns toward him, his mouth and shirt stained with blood. His blood-coated fingers leave stains on the fridge.
Timmy ain't home.
He shuffles out of the kitchen. Bill watches him go. In another room, a noose lies on a desk. Bill sits in a chair, staring down. His face crumples. Outside the Crandalls, Judd's car skids to a stop. He and Manny get out. Dan stands on the porch. Kathy stands in the yard.
Catch up with you later, Manny. Hey, Kathy.
Nice to see you, Manny.
She keeps her eyes on Dan. Judd removes his Julio's hat. Dan removes a straw fedora.
The founding families. Ludlow, Washburn, Anderson, Benson, Bouchard.
Judd unfolds a piece of paper.
Crandall.
Dan meets his son's gaze.
That's us. It's our family.
A sign before a clearing reads, Pet Cemetery.
There've always been good forces and bad in Ludlow. We're all connected in a spiral. A chain that goes back to our maker.
Grave markers fill the clearing.
And on our end, we give the chain a tug. We call on our maker and all that he's made.
Judd glances around the clearing. Dan eyes him. Judd winces and removes his hat.
What is that?
It'll do that.
Dan taps his head.
Gets in your head, messes with your mind.
That's why it prefers the dead.
Put up less of a struggle.
It's evil.
Evil's evil, Judd.
Dan lights a cigarette.
Your great-grandfather built that deadfall to keep people out of the woods.
The deadfall, a wall made of branches, stands on the far side of the clearing.
We've been battling with this for generations.
Rocks on the ground form a spiral.
Me, Marge, the sheriff, Benson, our families made a pact when this town was founded.
Dan walks along the spiral. He stops and faces Judd.
This thing is like a sickness. We have to stop it from spreading.
He steps away. Judd's eyes shift side to side. He rubs his brow, then looks to the side. Mist floats above a pond of pale liquid. Yellow flowers dot dense greenery. Elsewhere, Timmy sits on the slanted roof of a building, hanging his head. He lifts his head. From above, the rocks form a large spiral in the Pet Cemetery. Dan gets in a pickup with the text, Crandall's Landscaping and Lawn.
I'll get the sheriff, Marjorie, all of them. We'll tend to this.
Dad,
Judd and Kathy stand beside it.
Just be careful, okay?
I will.
Dan nods at Kathy. Judd steps back. Manny returns home, wheeling a bicycle. He eyes drooping plants at the edge of the house and lets his bike fall on them. A carved-out smiley face marks the center of a sunflower missing its petals. Manny heads inside. He enters through the open basement door. He eyes a thick, dark blood stain with flies buzzing around it. A fly scurries across a record sleeve bearing the text, Jungle Rock. Manny steps further inside.
Donna?
He surveys the mess from the struggle, including scattered paint supplies.
Donna?
He looks around the empty room with a furrowed brow.
Donna!
An empty paint can rests on its side. Manny turns to find the sheriff in the entryway. In the hospital, someone turns into Norma's room, their vision blurred. Norma sits on the bed with her back to the door. The only other person in the room, a nurse, looks over.
Thank you.
The nurse rises. Norma turns. Donna stands in the doorway, pale and disheveled, her face spotted with grime.
Donna, you know this girl? What happened?
I'm going to go get the doctor.
The nurse exits past Donna, who slowly shuffles inside, holding a limp sunflower. Norma rises.
Donna.
She moves toward Donna.
Donna, can you hear me?
Donna staggers forward, as if dazed. Norma catches her. She sits Donna on the bed next to hers.
Hey, you're in shock.
She wraps a blanket around Donna and touches her shoulder. Donna sways from side to side.
You're safe now.
Norma picks up a washcloth. She stoops and holds one of Donna's grimy, blackened feet. She runs the cloth down the top of it. The flesh tears off, revealing bone and muscle tissue. Norma gapes at Donna, who stares impassively. A tear spills from Norma's eye.
Donna, what happened?
Donna grins.
Such a good girl.
Norma rises.
Always a good girl. Pretending to love Jesus.
But not you.
She glances back at the door. Donna stands.
No. You hate the poor and the rich and all the rest of us so beneath you, so beneath you.
Norma moves to the hallway.
But we all look the same when we're beneath the ground, Norma. Shriveling.
An older patient passes.
Please, help me. Please, where are you going?
He shuffles away. Norma moves toward the nurse by a stairway.
Hello? Hey, can you help me?
A man lies dead on the floor, his head turned around backward, and his eyes open wide. No! Blood squirts on Norma's face. The nurse falls, her throat cut. Donna stands behind her, holding a scalpel. She looks at Norma. Norma flees up the winding stairs. Donna follows slowly, scraping the scalpel against the railing. Upstairs, Norma runs down a hallway lined with wheelchairs. She pauses to look back at Donna. Norma continues running. She comes down another staircase. She runs into another hallway and turns to find Donna standing right behind her.
Donna, please!
Please!
Stained with blood, Norma runs to a closed set of doors.
No, please! Oh, come on!
Donna stalks toward her. Norma runs into a patient room and tries to close the door. Donna shoves it open. Norma stumbles into a table. She swings a wooden crutch at Donna, who grabs it and wrenches it away. Donna hits Norma with a crutch. She pushes Norma against the wall, pressing the crutch on her throat. Norma's feet rise off the floor. On the road outside the Batermans, Dan steps away from his pickup. Bill takes a rifle out of his own pickup.
Now, Bill, we can do this the hard way or the harder way.
He marches up to Dan.
Get off my property.
Bill. What have you done?
I thought it only fair. Give me back my son.
Bill closes his lips. Dan blinks. Bill looks aside.
Let me help you.
In town, Judd's car skids to a stop in a crosswalk outside the hospital. He rushes inside.
Norma!
He enters Norma's room, now empty.
Norma?
On the floor, pieces of sunflower and bloody handprints surround a large word written in blood. Farm. Judd turns, his eyes wide. At home, Timmy closes a door, then braces himself against the frame of another. Judd's car speeds down a rural road. Outside the Batermans, Manny and the sheriff get out of a police car. They join Bill and Dan.
Manny?
He's my fucking sister, man.
You shouldn't be here, son.
Judd arrives and parks on the lawn.
Shit.
Dan steps away from the others, including Benson and Marjorie.
Judson, I told you to stay away.
Norma's in there. I'm going in.
No.
I'm going in!
No!
Dad!
Hell no! It's too dangerous.
Dan and Judd stand inches apart.
I'm going in with you.
Dan puts his hand on Judd's chest.
You stay by my side.
They share a nod, then join the others by Bill's pickup. Bill faces Dan.
All right, listen up. Here's the plan. You go inside, grab the girls, and get on out. I'll go in and I'll hold Timmy while you set the fire.
Bill.
I held him the day he came into this world. And I'm going to hold him the day he goes out. You just burned this fucking place to the ground.
Marjorie hands rifles to Judd.
Here. Bill, we'll take the barns.
She and Benson step away with their own guns. Bill hands a gas can to the sheriff, then heads toward the house. Dan, Judd, and Manny follow.
You aim for their eyes. That's the only way to end this.
The sheriff splashes gas around the property. Bill leads his group into the enclosed porch, each carrying a gun. He grabs the knob of the house's front door and pauses. He goes inside, followed by Dan, Judd, and Manny. On the porch, an axe stands embedded in a log. In the foyer,
I'll take upstairs.
Bill goes upstairs. Dan heads into a room. Judd follows. Manny eyes a bucket of dead rats. He follows. Outside, Benson approaches a barn with a slight gap at the end of a large wooden door. He peers through the gap into the darkened interior, then slides open the door. He heads inside and looks to a wall on his right. Slits of sunshine coming through gaps on the wall on the left shine on it. To his left, the doors of three stalls stand closed with gaps underneath them. Benson crouches to look under the door of the first stall. He moves to the second stall and looks under the door. Benson rises and moves to the third stall. Someone grabs him from within and drags him into the stall. In the house, Judd and Manny follow Dan into a dining room. A lamp flickers in a corner. Food scraps litter plates strewn around the table. Dan raises his gun as he approaches an open door. He turns toward a closed door. Judd opens it. Dan goes through into the foyer.
Bill!
In another dimly lit barn, Marjorie rounds a corner with her gun raised. She aims into a stable. Her eyes shift. She turns toward the rest of the room, keeping her gun raised. She proceeds to the far end of the room, passing stables on her right. She moves toward a closed door. She turns. Timmy rushes up to her and swings a weapon. In the house, Dan leads Judd and Manny up the curving stairs. He stops by two open doors adjacent to each other.
Watch this door.
He enters a bedroom and looks around. He spots the paper on which Timmy wrote the surnames. A spiral of blood covers the surnames.
What? What is it?
Nothing. Let's go. Let's keep moving.
He heads through the other door. Judd follows. Manny peers into the bedroom. Outside, night begins to fall. A shotgun rests in the grass near the gas can in the sheriff's hat. The sheriff lies dead. Timmy stands over him with his foot on the sheriff's face. He lights a match. Timmy holds up the match, then throws it. Firelight illuminates his impassive face. In the house, Dan, Judd, and Manny come down a staircase and enter the kitchen. Dan grabs Judd's arm.
Hey, you stay here. You do not move until I come back.
He heads back the way they came. Manny finds Donna's black animal mask.
Manny. These are Donna's.
It rests on the counter.
It's Donna.
Where's Donna?
Donna enters the kitchen.
Where's Norma?
Donna.
Where's Manny?
Donna.
She moves toward Manny, grinning.
He's nowhere.
He knits his brow.
He's nothing. He'll always be nothing.
She holds the scalpel.
Back off. Back off.
She slashes Manny. Judge shoves her to the floor.
Don't you fucking shoot her, man!
Manny!
Manny! You used to dance.
Don't fucking shoot her!
Donna cuts Manny's legs.
Back off! Don't you fucking shoot her!
Stop doing that! That's not her! Manny! Back off! I'm gonna shoot her!
You're better off dead!
Returning to the kitchen, Dan shoots Donna. He and Judd crouch before Manny.
Look at me.
It's okay.
Hold on.
Donna.
That wasn't Donna anymore, son. Sometimes dead is better.
Blood sprays on Manny. Gaping, Dan looks down to see his gun impaled through his stomach. He falls aside, revealing Donna behind him. Through tears, Manny shoots her in the eye. She falls. Judd moves toward his dad.
Dad? Dad? Hey, Dad?
Sorry, Judd.
He goes limp, blood trickling from his mouth. Manny moves towards Donna's lifeless body. He collapses beside her, weeping. Judd stares at his father's body, wide-eyed. Bill grips his shoulder from behind.
The place is on fire. I gotta get out of here.
The cellar. We can wait it out there.
Bill throws aside a table and a rug. He opens a hatch in the floor.
Come on!
He ushers Judd and Manny into the cellar. Judd turns on a light, dimly illuminating the dingy space. Manny falls down the steps. Bill follows, closing the hatch behind him.
Who do you think we can survive down here?
Where does this go?
Judd and Bill look into a long, narrow tunnel in the wall.
I don't know. Timmy must have dug that.
Manny finds a star-shaped medal on a shelf.
Wait.
Judd finds a cross necklace in the mouth of the tunnel.
This is Norma's necklace. This is Norma's. She's in that
tunnel. Should we keep going there?
Elsewhere, underground, Norma, bound and gagged, pounds against the walls.
Well, wake up, Peace Corps. Manny.
Bill hands the boys guns.
You guys can end this.
He crawls into the tunnel, just wide enough for one person at a time. He turns on a flashlight.
Oh, shit.
Judd goes in after Bill. Manny stares at the tip of his gun. Scenes flash. At the party, Donna blows bubbles and smiles. Manny glances at the hatch and winces. He climbs into the tunnel. He follows behind Judd. In the lead, Bill crawls forward, shining his flashlight ahead. He sits up as the tunnel widens and looks back at the others. At a juncture, the tunnel splits off in several directions. Crouching on his feet, Bill shines his flashlight down the different paths.
She could be anywhere.
We should split up.
He taps Manny's arm. He heads down one of the paths. In the juncture, Judd takes out a flashlight.
Judd, what if I find Norma like Donna?
You won't.
Judd stares at Manny, then heads down one of the paths with his gun and flashlight. Alone in the juncture, Manny lights his lighter. He heads down a path, holding his lighter close to his face and his gun in his other hand. Timmy approaches the mouth of the tunnel. The light in the basement goes out. He stoops to look into the tunnel. In the woods, the water in the pond ripples. Norma lies in a small underground chamber. Muddy water drains into the chamber. In the tunnels, Manny looks from side to side. Judd proceeds up his path. At another juncture, Bill looks down the diverting paths. He heads down one with his flashlight and a revolver. Manny proceeds down his path. Behind him, Timmy scurries out of the shadows on all fours. At a juncture, Judd drops his bag, then picks it up. In the small chamber, Norma writhes as the space fills with muddy water. Judd crouches in a tunnel.
Hey!
He whips around to see Timmy. Then, the tunnel lies empty.
Timmy!
Judd!
Bill approaches Judd. Bill heads up a path.
Timmy! Timmy!
He turns toward another path, shining his light on Timmy, who lifts his head. Bill aims his revolver at him. Scenes flash of Bill playing with Timmy as a child. In the tunnel, the gun shakes in Bill's hand. Timmy wears a solemn expression. Bill looks away. Norma writhes in the muddy chamber.
John!
Manny and Judd move through a tunnel.
Jesus.
They find Bill dead with his stomach ripped open. Timmy scampers away. They follow. Outside, Timmy plods across the waist-deep pond. In the chamber, Norma lies still, almost completely submerged in mud. Judd and Manny exit the tunnel, emerging into the woods. Judd crouches and goes through his bag.
Shit, what do we have left?
There's like nothing left. We have a flare gun and we...
Timmy grabs Manny.
Manny!
He drags Manny through the woods.
Manny!
Judd fires Bill's revolver. Timmy flees across the pond. Manny lies on a wire.
Manny...
It connects to an explosive.
Hey, stop, 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 stop.
Don't move. Don't move.
Hey. Man, if I get up, I think we're both getting blown to shit.
That's a slider.
If I don't come back,
You fire that. Someone will come save you.
Judd hands Manny a flare gun. They lock eyes.
You're my brother. And I'm gonna end this, and you're gonna get out.
Judd rises, revolver in hand. He approaches the pond. He wades into the waist-deep water. Below the surface, moonlight glows softly. He keeps his gaze fixed ahead toward the woods. He glances to the side and continues forward. In the water, Timmy floats completely still as Judd passes. Judd continues toward the other side of the pond. Timmy rises up behind Judd and grabs him. Judd aims the revolver at his face. Timmy falls back. Judd scrambles toward the bank. Timmy grabs him. Judd drops the revolver as Timmy drags him into the water. From afar, Manny tries to aim the flare gun. Timmy holds Judd's head underwater. Manny tries to aim through trees, blocking his view. Judd struggles underwater. Timmy stares down at him. Manny adjusts his aim. Scenes flash. He, Judd, and Timmy hang out in the treehouse as teens.
Sorry, Timmy.
Manny fires the flare gun. The flare hits Timmy in the face. He falls back into the water. Judd resurfaces. In the mud-filled chamber, Norma kicks at the ceiling. Above ground, the earth shifts. Norma continues kicking. She breaks open a hole above her and rises. In the pond, Timmy lies still, one of his eyes burned out.
Timmy?
Judd stares at him. Timmy's body sinks below the water. From above, the shadow of a tree stretches across the spiral of rocks in the pet cemetery. By the pond, Judd straightens with a slight smile. Norma runs toward him, stained with mud.
Judd.
They embrace. Manny lowers his head.
Don't you think it's about time you got out of here too, man? I want you to come with me.
A scene flashes of Donna in the sunflower field. In the woods, Norma looks at Manny, then kisses Judd on the cheek. On a new day, a car passes the Welcome to Ludlow sign. A smiley face defaces the O. In a graveyard, dirt tops fresh graves. Judd opens the trunk of his car. Norma eyes him as he pauses. He turns to her.
You sure about this, Norma?
She meets his gaze.
Am I holding you back?
She turns toward him. They stand inches apart.
We wanted to serve.
He nods. Norma carries a small suitcase into the Crandall's house. Judd follows, carrying a cardboard box. Norma passes a frowning Kathy at the front door. Judd shares a look with his mother, then gazes out. In the pet cemetery, he wraps Manny in a tight hug. Manny returns the embrace, no longer wearing his bandana. The deadfall stands behind Judd. The gun and the sword. Buried the hatchet, buried the snake. At home, Manny wraps up pieces of Donna's artwork, including a small painting of a sunflower and a large painting of herself over a landscape. The earth supply. He drives the painted car down a rural road, wearing a soft smile. As he passes the Welcome to Ludlow sign, he sticks out his middle finger toward it.
Down to earth, I stay a while.
Manny beams. The sun is shining. A low sun hangs by the horizon as Manny continues driving. He rests his bandaged hand on the steering wheel and steers with the other.
I'm a brown-skinned man. That's what I am.
On his porch, Judd takes a seat in his father's rocking chair beside the small table with beers and an ashtray on it. In a flashback, he, Manny, and Timmy hold beer cans in the treehouse as teens. On the porch, Judd lights a cigarette. As teens, the boys stand by the pond. Timmy puts his arms around the others. On the porch, Judd rocks in the chair, gazing out.
We can never bury that evil, the crimes of our fathers and theirs. We can only take care of the fucked up land we created. A man grows what he can, and he tends it. Well, I shouldn't be telling you this. Maybe this place is telling me to, because it knows you won't stay away. You'll make up the sweetest reasons, because anything's better than dead. But believe me when I say, sometimes dead is better. Stay the fuck out of Ludlow.
A truck speeds past. Over black, the title appears. Pet Sematary. Bloodlines. Credits. Directed by Lindsay Anderson Beer. Written by Lindsay Anderson Beer and Jeff Bueller. Based on the novel Pet Sematary by Stephen King. Produced by Lorenzo D. Bonaventura, PGA, Mark Varadian, PGA. Executive Producer, Martha Fernandez. Director of Photography, Benjamin Kirk, DFF. Production Designer, Adam Scher. Editors, Ken Blackwell, ACE, Jan Kovac. Costume Designer, Odette Gattery. Music, by Brandon Roberts. Casting, by Monica Mickelson. Jackson White, Forrest Goodluck, Jack Mulhern, Henry Thomas, Natalie Allen Lind, Isabella Starr LeBlanc, with Pam Greer and David Duchovny. A Paramount Plus presentation. A Paramount Plus original movie. In association with Paramount Players. A D. Bonaventura Pictures production. Credits continue.
Yeah. stay and keep Anna Lee company. Take a load off Fanny. Take a load off Bree. Take a load off Fanny. And you put the load right on me. He said, I will fix your rat if you take Jack, my dog. I said, wait a minute, Chester, you know I'm a peaceful man. He said, that's okay, boy, won't you feed him when you can?
Yeah, take a load off Fanny, take a load off Bree, take a load.
American Humane monitored some of the animal action. No animals were harmed. Registered trademark in those scenes. AH11366. Paramount Pictures Corporation did not receive any payment or other consideration or enter into any agreement for the depiction of tobacco products in this film. Copyright 2023. Paramount Players, a division of Paramount Pictures Corporation. All rights reserved. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. Logos. Paramount. Paramount Plus. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Stephen Christopher. Voiced by Ren Leach.